Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Good Friday Communion service this morning online again. You're very welcome as you've joined us this morning, and we trust that God will be with us as we celebrate this Easter service, this very important day together on this Good Friday morning. We will be taking communion together later on, so if you haven't got anything prepared for that, you might want to pause the tape just at the moment and then go and get yourself some juice and some perhaps a slice of bread or something, so that we can share together in communion a little bit later on in taking the Lord's Supper together on this Good Friday morning, as we've said. And as far as part of that, we'll be, after we've sung, we'll pray, and then we'll hear something from the scriptures together. And then, as I say, we'll gather around the table, as it were, and you can do that in your homes where you are, and you can share in the communion service together. That's just a simple service this morning, and hopefully we'll enjoy our time together, and it'll be meaningful for all of us.
Sin for us, took the blame.
having sung our worship to the Lord, let's come before him in prayer, shall we? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for what we've just been singing. We thank you, Lord, that it is your love that's vast as the ocean that has caused you to go to the cross and give your life for us. And Lord, we thank you that as we come together today, Lord, on this solemn day, really, as we remember what it cost you to take away our sin and how willing you were to do that. We picture you, Lord, in the garden. We picture you, Lord, with all of the sorrow, and we picture you, Lord, with all of that troubled heart that you had, weeping great drops of blood over what was about to take place. And Lord, we recognize this morning that you did that for each one of us. You were willing to go through all of that. But Lord, much greater than the physical pain or the torture of what went on the cross, Lord, we know that the agony of having to bear the wrath of your Father in heaven weighed heavily upon your shoulders. And Lord, as you were able, you cried on that cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Lord, we can only imagine how difficult that was for you and how painful that was for you. But we thank you this morning, Lord, that you went there for us. You were willing to stoop that low in order that you might lift us up. And Lord, how low have we got in our sinful state that we would need you to do that? And so we recognize that this morning, Lord, and we come with hearts full of thanksgiving because you were prepared to come and meet us in the pit that we've dug for ourselves. In our rejection of you, you've come to rescue us and bring us back into fellowship with your Father in heaven. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning we pray that as we remember and we reflect, that, Lord, we would respond in a way that's appropriate, Lord, and right before you, with confession and with repentance again, acknowledgement that it is because of us that you went to the cross, because of my sin that you were killed and laid in a tomb. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to recognize that and reflect on that today. But also, Lord, come with rejoicing in the sense that you were willing to do that. And because you've done that, Lord, we are able to be free from our sin. So accept our praise, accept our worship. This morning we pray, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And as we gather around the table a bit later, Lord, make those emblems real to us again as we remember Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. And we ask this for your glory and in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Crucifixion, fountains o'er.
Let's read from the scriptures together, shall we? And we're going to read from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 down to verse 43. Hopefully it should come up on your screens as we read this together. Two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, that's Jesus, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood watching. The rulers even sneered at him, and they said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." And there was written a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him and said, "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Okay, well, I wonder how you come to Good Friday this year, this morning. What does Good Friday mean to you? It's always one of those days which is a special day in the Christian year, isn't it? A Christian calendar. A day when we're not quite sure how we should behave. Is it okay to be happy? And there's lots of tradition around that, isn't there? And yet it is called Good Friday. Why is it called Good Friday? We just read in the scriptures before about it's a day when Jesus was placed and nailed to a cross. Interestingly enough, as we've said already, if you've been following our talks over the past few weeks here, that the Bible doesn't major too much on the awfulness and the terror of the cross and the torture of the cross and the beatings and everything else that goes with it and the pain, that, physical pain that Christ suffered, although it was very real. But it was more about the fact that Jesus died amongst the criminals. It was prophesied from the prophet Isaiah, who said that, you know, he would be numbered with the transgressors. And there's Jesus, we've read this morning, on the cross, and there he is, numbered amongst the transgressors, between two criminals on the cross. So there's three crosses, and I'd like us to look at these three crosses today, the very famous pictures that we have of the crucifixion, of Jesus there and the three crosses on the hill, and it's usually in silhouette or something like that. We're going to look at these three crosses. Three crosses. First of all, there's one cross of rejection. Secondly, there's a cross of repentance. And thirdly, there's a cross of redemption. So three R's. Rejection, repentance, and redemption. First of all, the cross of rejection. The thief who's on the cross of rejection. The first criminal's reaction to Christ in Luke's account is that he doesn't recognize any of his guilt at all. He's sorry that he's been caught, if you like. There's a sadness that he's been caught. He's in terrible pain and he's suffering for it. And ultimately, he just wants to get away with it. He just wants to get off the cross. And the ideal thing for him is, if this guy is who he says he is, then he'll do for me and stop me suffering. Stop me being feeling bad. Stop the pain. He'd just make it all go away. He'd make life good for me again. That's what he's about, isn't he, this Jesus? That's what he should do. And these three crosses, as we'll see this morning, reflect how the world's attitude is to Christ, or the two criminals do anyway. And one of and there's two responses we can have. And the world's response is this one here, the cross of rejection. He's not interested in who Jesus is. He doesn't care that Jesus is not guilty. He doesn't care that he's the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. He doesn't care that he's the Son of God come from heaven to save him from his rejection. He doesn't care that he's rejected God. He only cares about one thing, and that's himself. And we're taught in the world throughout our lives that that's who we should care about most. Look after yourself. Take care of yourself. Put yourself first. And the ultimate upshot of that is to be where this man is here. In the most grave situation of his life, about to lose his life, and he just wants to escape that. And he realizes at last that he's absolutely powerless to do anything. And he cries out to this man who he's heard about, presumably, and says, save yourself and us, if you are the Christ, if you are this person who everyone says you are, then do something about it. It's a bit like the cry of the world, isn't it? If God's so good and so great, why doesn't he do something about all of this? And we want God to act on our orders, don't we? And he's full of unbelief, really. If you are the Christ, he says. And of course, he's in good company with saying that. Anyone who is on the side of Satan, if you like, says the same thing, because he says that in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, you'll be able to jump off this, off the top of the temple, and you'll be able to be saved with all the angels. And, you know, you could cry out and make these stones turn to bread, and you don't need to be hungry. God's here to, you know, if you're God, you'll just do everything to please yourself, as it were. If you are the Christ. This man didn't believe, even when he was faced with the most gruesome of circumstances, in the most shocking of times in his life, he still refused to believe in the Christ who came from heaven to earth. In fact, he says, in his pride, he hurled insults at him, at Jesus. It's the attitude of some today, isn't it? The pride of life. I don't need you, Jesus, even in my most darkest hours. I might cry out to some God who might be out there, but I don't want any of this story. I don't want anything to do with a Christ who is crucified, who gives himself for me. And I don't want to have to admit my sin. I don't want to admit that it might be my own fault that I've rejected you in the first place. I don't want to come in that kind of repentant heart. No, I want to reject you. I don't mind you helping me out occasionally, but please don't get involved in my life. And that's kind of where this guy was, wasn't it? He hurled insults at Jesus. We're not told what they are. I'm sure they were very colourful. Not befitting for the Son of God and the Saviour of the world. So I wonder if we're like this guy this morning on the cross of rejection. Is that you this morning? Have you spent your life rejecting Jesus? There may be some of you watching this who do experience that. That's how you feel. God has never done anything for you, and so if you are God, then rescue me from all my problems. That's all you're there for, isn't it? That you're only good to make me feel good about myself and to make my life complete. Is that how we are? Not realizing what Jesus is actually doing on the cross on Good Friday, what it's all about. The cross of rejection. But then we have the other side of the coin, the opposite extreme, the thief on the other side, the dying thief, as he's known by us as Christians, isn't he? This thief responded to Christ as we all need to. Here's this thief, and we could be him. We are him this morning. Who are we in this story? Well, we're either the thief who rejects Jesus, the criminal who says he's relying on himself, and if God can help me, then he should just help me, you know, get out of this mess and leave me alone. Or I'm the thief who comes in repentance. He feared God. He asked the question, didn't he, of the guy who's the other thief. He asked the question of him. Do you not even fear God? Who do you think you're talking to? Do you not realise who this is? This is Jesus, basically, he's saying. This is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the guy who could have come from heaven to earth. I'm not sure he's utterly convinced, but he recognises that Jesus is something different from somewhere else, and therefore, of all things, this guy who's been crucified next to him on the cross shouldn't be hurling insults at him. He acknowledged that God was his judge. He knew that if Jesus is the Son of God, then he's got no place to be proud before him. He's got no place to, he's got no right to be sort of casting insults at him. And rather than rejecting him, he should be pleading with him, as we'll see in a moment. And the important thing here, I think Luke includes this for us, because as we come to the table today, and as we come to the cross today, and we're faced with Good Friday and Jesus being placed upon a cross and nailed there and given his life, he acknowledges his sin. He acknowledges the fact that Jesus was actually perhaps doing that for him. This man has done nothing wrong. He says, we are here, and we are here because we've done things wrong. We deserve to be here. And in a sense, it's like all of us should be this. Well, actually, Jesus, it shouldn't be you that's on the cross just today. It should be me. Not necessarily on the cross, but facing death and separation and all of the wrath of God upon my sin should be borne by me. Not by you, Lord Jesus, because of all people, you are sinless. You had no sin. He who had no sin became sin for us. So this man acknowledges his own sin. He acknowledges that he's rejected God. He's acknowledged that he's not right with God. And he acknowledges that Jesus shouldn't be there. And he accepts his sentence. Notice what he says. We are getting what we deserve. That's what repentance is. This cross of repentance, and the word repentance means to agree with God about what he says about my rejection of him. The world, generally speaking, the first criminal, didn't want to agree with God. You know, God says that because we sin and because we reject him, then all of the wrath of God comes upon us in judgment and our sin will be judged. And the world says, I don't want anything. No, there's no God. He's not going to do that to me. I'm going to get away with it. You've got no right to say that to me. Who do you think you are? And rejects God. And that ultimately is what sin is. But the repentant sinner comes to God and he comes and says, yes, you're right, Lord. I have rejected you. And I recognize that the reason I'm in the mess that I'm in, and the reason I feel so lost, and the reason I feel bear the weight of my sin, and I can't get away from it, and I know that life isn't what it should be, is because I rejected your ways. And you are right, and I am wrong in everything. And that's what this man says here. We are getting what we deserve. He isn't. He shouldn't do that. He shouldn't be getting this. He doesn't deserve this, but we do. There's something going on here. And so repentance is accepting that we, to get what we deserve, would be to be where Jesus is, separated from God forever and bearing the wrath of God's judgment upon us. And that's what this day is all about. Because Jesus, we aren't in that place. Those of us who love Jesus and follow him and have repented and turned to him because Jesus did what he did on Good Friday. He acknowledges a sinless saviour, doesn't he? The most important thing he says to him is, you don't deserve to be here. He saw himself on that cross, this dying thief, and he sees himself as a sinner and Jesus as the righteous one. He doesn't deserve to be there. I do. And you can see his repentant heart because he then pleads as a result of that for Christ's mercy. Lord, remember me. What tremendous words those are. Lord, remember me when you get into your Father's kingdom. So he knows something of this. He's obviously heard the message at some point, maybe convicted his heart, but he's never come to that point. But here he is at the point of crisis in his life, the huge crisis. And he sees the Son of God, the Messiah, and it's his only hope. And he recognizes that he's come from heaven. He recognizes that he's sinless and he recognizes his own sin and he pleads for mercy. Pleads for mercy. Lord, remember me from the Saviour who is dying on the cross. His only Saviour, his only hope as he faces death. That's what this day is all about, isn't it? So I wonder if we're like the second thief. And all of us ought to be like that second thief this morning. No matter how long we've been a Christian, or if we've never perhaps given our lives to Christ or started following him, if you're just watching out of interest, this is the thief we ought to be like. Lord, remember me. I'm a sinner. I recognize that I've rejected you and this is why I'm where I am. And I'm getting what I deserve. And I don't deserve anything from you because you're sinless. But Lord, please remember me. Please forgive me. Crying out for mercy. come with humility before the cross of Christ. Jesus said earlier on in his ministry, didn't he? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And here's this guy very really mourning at the foot, at the cross, as it were, for his life and his situation and his perilous state. And he casts himself on the mercy of the man hanging on the cross next to him. What a sight. What must the people have been thinking when they heard this conversation, as it were? But the third cross, we've had the cross of rejection and we've had the cross of repentance. What happens is we have the cross in the middle of Christ, which is the cross of redemption. The cross where the person who's on that cross, Christ himself, God himself, is paying the price to free us from the results of our rejection of Jesus, of his ways, of God's ways. So it's a picture of a slave market, isn't it? Going to paying the price. The price that should be paid was the price of death. The wages, as the Bible says, is death, of sin. And Jesus is paying that for us on the cross. And we read, don't we, that he took the cup that was his. He took the cup, which is, they passed him this cup of wine and vinegar and bitter taste. And he takes that. It's a picture in a sense of what sin is like. He's drinking it all in for us. And he's taken the weight of God's wrath on him. And this cup, we looked at it a couple of weeks ago, is referred to by Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in the previous chapter, chapter 22 and verse 42. He says, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." So Jesus recognizes the weight of all of this, the enormity of what's happening. And if it was possible, he would find another way, but there was no other way. And there was no other person good enough to take the price of our sin except Christ himself. "Take this cup from me." What was it? In Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, we read about this again. We looked at this a week or two ago, if you were here. Jeremiah 25, 15 to 18. This is what the God of Israel said. Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. This is the wrath of God's judgment. When they drink it, they will stagger and go mad because of the sword I will send amongst them. This is referring to God's judgment. The cup of God's wrath is his judgment upon our sin. And he says the nations, the people, cannot bear the weight of it. And in his prophecy, he says, "I'm going to send someone who will take that cup on behalf of the world." And that person is Jesus. He's hanging on the cross next to this thief, or these two thieves. The agony is felt for this, though. This isn't God who's kind of angry and wants to punish someone in that sense and kind of pours out his wrath upon Jesus with some kind of glad heart or an angry heart, or whatever way people might want to characterize it. Again, we look in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is praying to his Father. It's as though they both understand what the weight of this is. Neither of them wants this to happen, but it needs to happen so that God's righteous requirements might be fulfilled, as it says. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And no one else is good enough, only God himself through his Son coming from heaven to earth. This is God himself giving himself for us in the form of his Son. It's hard to understand. There's a mystery in this. But he comes himself in the form of his Son to give his life. Neither of them want it, but it must happen. Not to satisfy an angry God, but to fulfill God's promises. You know, Paul writes to the Philippians, I think he says, doesn't he? He says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he's faithful and just to what he did himself on the cross. That was a transaction that was made. That Christ took all our sin and we are blessed with his righteousness. If we trust in him and we come as the dying thief did in repentance. So this is a cross of redemption. Christ is paying the price for my sin and for your sin. And he's paying it in full. So what should our response be to this as we finish this morning? Well, it comes down to faith, to trust that today is good because Jesus has paid the price for my sin. And so Jesus says, when he takes the, just the night before this had all happened, he takes the cup at the Passover meal. We'll be doing the same in a moment or two. And he takes the cup and gives thanks for it and says, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood. We don't drink the cup of God's wrath. We drink the cup of God's new covenant, the wine of his kingdom. This wine reminds you, this cup reminds you of the blood that I shed for you. That's the new promise I have. Because I have shed my blood, because I died, you will live. That's the new covenant, isn't it? That's the promise that comes from this. That's the transaction that takes place. We should drink from the cup of God's wrath. You shouldn't be on this cross, Jesus. The thief was right. But since you are drinking that cup, Lord, our response should be, Lord, remember me. I don't have to drink that cup anymore. I don't have to bear God's wrath or the punishment or the judgment that God is bringing on my sin because of what Jesus has done for us. We drink the new wine of the kingdom of God. It's a cup of joy. It's a cup of hope. As we take these emblems later, we will remember with sadness and sorrow and solemnity what Jesus did for us. But it's also a time of rejoicing because we remember that Jesus has paid the price for our sin. And of course, we know that the old phrase, isn't it? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. But we don't want to get there too quickly. We will get there and we'll celebrate on Sunday. But today we remember what it cost Jesus to do that. But we drink a cup of joy because he drunk a cup of sorrow. We'll drink it. And of course, Jesus says, one day he will drink it again, and you with us at the table in his Father's kingdom. Won't that be a glorious day? But it can only happen because he was willing to take that cup on the cross. And so we have three crosses. We have the cross of rejection. That's not a cross we want to be on, because on the cross of rejection, we face death and punishment and judgment on our own, with no saviour to plead for us. It's the cross of repentance, isn't it, we need to be on this morning. The cross that says, yes, I'm giving my life to you, Lord Jesus. I'm dying to myself. I've recognised that I've messed up and my life isn't what it should be. And it's not what it should be because of a few little mistakes. It's because I've rejected you. I've rejected all your ways and I need to turn to you. But I have no prospect of doing that. Only that you have died for me on the cross of reconciliation and redemption. That you have paid the price for me, for my sin. And so I will drink this cup and I will take this bread and I will remember Jesus on Good Friday, because it is a good day. Because without it, I'm lost. But with it, I'm found in his kingdom forever. Is that you this morning? Which cross are you hanging on? The cross of repentance and faith, or the cross of rejection? Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we come around the table in a moment, Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together as we take these emblems. But Lord, help us to remember where we need to be this morning. Give us those repentant hearts. Help us to remember the enormity of our sin, Lord. And help us to come to that point again where we cry to you, Lord, remember us. Because we need to be remembered this morning. We need saving. Lord, we need rescuing. Because we're so prone to wander. But as we come again, Lord, on this Good Friday morning, help us to remember what you've done for us, to pay the price of our sin. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the
the whole world.
Let's gather around the table together, shall we now? As if you've got yourself some bread and you've got a glass of juice, we can remember Jesus together, as Jesus did on the night when he was betrayed, and in the upper room, as we've been looking at over the past few weeks. And on this day, we come and we remember in particular that last time he spent with his disciples, when he shared with them the meaning of what this Last Supper, this Lord's Supper, this communion service is all about. It's to help us to remember what we've been talking about this morning. Why Jesus died and the fact that he died for me. So it's a personal thing this morning. Wherever you are, we come as a body together, as church. But wherever you are, you can come and celebrate too as we gather around this table. So we on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so if we break the bread wherever you are, and I'll pray for us as we share the bread together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what this means to us, Lord, what we are doing here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we've already said that you came and you gave yourself for us. And Lord, we thank you for this bread, because this speaks to us of your body. You were a real person, just like us, yet without sin. And so your body was broken and bruised for us. The prophet said that you would be bruised for our iniquities, for our sins, crushed for our transgressions. And Lord, we come and acknowledge that this morning, that it was because of my sin that you were crushed and that you were bruised. And as your body hung on the cross there, you looked down the centuries of history and saw me in need of forgiveness, each one of us this morning. And so Lord, on this Good Friday morning, we give you thanks for your body that was broken for us. And so Lord, we do this as we eat this bread. We eat it in remembrance of you, that you took all of my sin, all of my frailties, all of my failings, all of the consequences of my rejection of you, and you took it to the cross and you paid the price for it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And then after supper, Jesus took a cup. A cup of the new covenant. We've mentioned it before earlier today. The cup that represents the cup of God's wrath being poured out upon him, except the cup that he drinks and we drink today on that Last Supper was the cup of the new covenant, his blood that was shed for us so that we don't have to bear the weight of our own sin, but because he took it for us. So this cup that we drink is a personal cup. It's for us because it's what Jesus has done for us. And we remember together as a body, all of us, wherever we are this morning, however you're seated, we're all in the same boat as we drink this cup. We remember that we all need Jesus to die for us this morning. We're all sinners and we're all crying like that dying thief. Remember me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, with a heart of repentance. And if that's you this morning, then drink this cup, all of it, in remembrance of him. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. He took the cup after supper And he gave thanks and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's drink together, shall we? And so, Lord, we thank you for this time that we spent together here this morning, this solemn time as we remember the events of that Good Friday morning, all those years ago, which has such a resounding effect 2,000 odd years later in our lives. We thank you for the cross. But Lord, we know this is only the beginning of Easter. We know, Lord, that it's only Friday and Sunday is coming, and we are so grateful for that. But Lord, today we want to sit for a moment at the foot of this cross and remember what it cost you to bear away our sin. And we ask, Lord, that you give us hearts full of gratitude. Fill us with an understanding of what it meant to you, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Slow.